Hi, Sam.
Here, put your headphones on. Now, what do you say?
You say hi, hello? Sam.
Hello to all the hosers.
Hi, Sammy. Hi, Sam. Hello, Sammy.
I think you're just blowing his mind.
Say something, Sammy. Hey, Sammy, what's your...
Kannst du hallo sagen? Can you just stare awkwardly at the microphone?
What's your favorite color? Do you like grilled cheese sandwiches? How old is your sister? Do you like beef and cheese together?
Okay, that'll do it. Okay, thanks, buddy. I'm gonna take you back to mom now, okay?
Podcast star is born.
Hello and welcome to episode 276 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam.
We'll just guess where you are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could be anywhere. Could be right behind you right now.
No.
Okay.
It wasn't you.
Okay.
What's going on, Adam? Amazon's what's going on. Let's get that
out
of the way.
That's what I was going to say anyways.
Yeah. So click through our site is what you're... What Adam is trying to say...
Yeah.
...is if you're going to buy stuff on Amazon, click through our site and help us out.
Right.
As you've been doing. People have been doing it.
That's what I've been trying to say for the last, I don't know, 13 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead then.
Click through our site.
Done. What's going on with you?
That much is going on with me.
Mm-hmm.
Dropped the kids off at school and ready for podcasting magic.
How many of the other parents dropped their kids off at your kids' school today and went home to podcast?
I'm gonna guess none of them.
Probably none. You're probably the exclusive category.
Yeah.
Did you get the special drop-off lane, the high-speed lane? Because hey. Guys, got a podcast?
Got a podcast to go to. I actually have a shirt that says, gotta go, podcasting time.
Podcast time.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'm a podcaster.
Yeah. Don't worry.
Actually, these days, I'm pretty sure that half the parents at your kid's school are podcasters.
Yeah, it seems that it's going that way.
Bloggers, at least.
Is blogging done? Is that still a thing?
I don't know.
I don't think it is. I think there's no more blogs.
I think if you're running the blogging convention, you're probably a lonely guy.
Yeah.
Or gal.
I got a note. This is just on the tip of my my mind, and I just thought I'd mention it. I just got a note when I came back into the house, so in my mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
Not a note, so an actual letter from the community police station in Richmond.
Okay.
Saying that on March 26th, some... community police station volunteers observed my vehicle. So I don't know if it was my wife or myself driving, not make a full stop at a stop sign. So that this is not a ticket. This is just to inform you, that this happened and that if it was observed, it is possible that I could have, received a ticket for this offense.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of that? A lot of calories burnt on that one,
right?
And And again, like 2 weeks after the fact, I mean, I'm a pretty safe driver,
yes.
And I feel like the spot where they indicate it is River Road in like Canby, like it's like there's a nothing going on there,
uh-huh.
And so if there was a look and a little bit of a roll, I'm going to kind of say that that there's no lives were endangered.
Yeah, the roll through, that, and I know where you're talking about, but the roll through there is you're probably okay.
But I just thought it was funny that, I mean, again, I don't know. I'm going to blame my wife even on this because it's probably her driving that vehicle. I don't drive it very often. But I just thought, okay, the observing, then the time spent and the paper wasted and all of this. Like I say, if there was an immediate sort of feedback, then you could kind of say, all right, like, okay, I was in the wrong or I wasn't in the wrong, but whatever. But we're 3 weeks after the fact and a letter shows up in your mailbox with requiring no action, but just angering.
There's
just
action.
Just nothing but angry.
No, there's action.
Well, where's the action?
You're gonna watch yourself on those roll-throughs.
Oh yeah, that's
they're expensive. They're expensive tickets. They got to be $250.
I have no clue. Never
I don't know either. I haven't had. I've never had one of those. I don't think. Friend of ours has. He got one probably back, you know, in the day when he was like 16 or 17. And it was one of those silly ones, but they were just sitting there waiting for people to roll through, and he jumped out of the bushes and they gave him a ticket.
Right.
That wasn't a police officer. It was just some guy.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really enforceable. No, it was the police. The police were hiding out in the bushes and just jumping out, giving out tickets. I mean, and I see it both ways because I, like you, I'm a very safe driver. And when I blow through a red light or something like that, I do it safely. But right. Especially in Richmond, I see a lot of people just disregarding stop signs and stop lights and that.
I do not. I am not one of those people. So, but I, again, on a safety level, and again, where are we going with this? Are we just going to have people stand around and write letters? Like, that's kind of the point that I'm making. And just what a ridiculous waste of money. If tickets, you know, don't deter people from these activities, and I firmly believe that the penalties aren't harsh enough, or else they would deter behavior, but they don't. Mm-hmm. And right now the big kind of push is on distracted driving and, you know, people who are texting. And there was something up in the paper recently in Vancouver about a lady that has already had 13 distracted driving tickets, like for texting while driving. And she just after the 13th had her license suspended.
Yeah.
So where again, the question is, where are we going and why on earth are we wasting time with people standing at the side of the road? You know, whatever, sometimes it's a speed thing. And again, they'll send you a note because they don't have the authority to write a ticket. So they send you a note saying on whatever date you were going 15 over the speed limit on this, you know, 50 or doing 65 now, is this an issue of safety or is this just stupidity? And I argue for the latter.
Okay.
So it just bothered me that this people are doing this and wasting time. So
I'd like to agree with you here, but I'm going to play devil's advocate and say they probably saved you or your wife $250 in the near future because you get to the point where you it's not like you think, hey, I'm just going to run this and, you know,
I have yet to have a ticket in my life. A single ticket in my life.
Really?
Not ever. And I've been driving since I'm 16 and I'm turning 40. So I'm pretty sure they didn't save me a ticket.
Your wife then.
Maybe. Yeah. I still, it's again, I have an issue with the whole thing of safety because I drive through Richmond and I see guys biking in the middle of the road at night in nothing but dark black sweatsuits with no helmet. And when is the last time that guy got a ticket?
Well, the helmet is not really the issue at that point.
Well, I mean, it's everything. It's just all of that is not looked at in the same regard. And I mean, who's going to go to the emergency room, the roll through on the stop sign, or the guy riding in the all black tracksuit at night with no protection at all amongst, you know, the trucks and the cars whizzing past?
That guy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure he's going to cost the taxpayer dollar a lot more than the other guy.
Okay.
I'm mad. Now I'm mad.
Well, write him a letter, man.
Yeah, I should. I should get the community people to
just
write.
You do it. Just write on. Just print out their letterhead.
Yeah, I hope there's a whole bunch of the community, whatever they call it, the community police station volunteers listening to our podcast right now.
They're a niche fan group, but yeah, they're definitely part of it. Yeah, they stream it for free at Tim Hortons.
I'm going to next time, because again, they set up in certain spots that I'm familiar with, and the next time I see them, I'm gonna park, and I'm going to stand across the street and take pictures of them and wait till it gets awkward. And I'm going to take some like zoomed in close up photos and just wait until someone approaches me with what the hell are you doing? And my response will be exactly the same. No, what are you doing?
You say to them, hey, man, I'm community policing the community police.
Exactly.
That's how we do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
You okay
that's now? That's my, yeah, no, I think I'm okay. That's my rant. I'm done.
Great.
I'm going to drop the mic and walk away.
On a positive note, yeah. We got even more feedback this week
from
our show from 2 weeks ago where we said, hey, what did
we're
we
say? Quitting.
I forget. No, quitting. We didn't say we're quitting. That was never part of it.
I think I said that like three times. I said, I'm out. I'm going to drop the mic and walk out, and that's it. I'm done. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know you did. But you never fall through on anything.
That's true. Yeah. And there's no way I'm going to park across the street and take pictures of those.
No, guys. That seems like a lot of
way too much effort.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. No, so we got a lot more feedback, and we appreciate it. Now, I've responded to, I think, 0% of it.
Okay.
Have you?
I think I may have responded to one or two people, I believe. I think, maybe.
It's been a busy week, and there's been a lot of it. So if you haven't heard back from us yet, just know that we did read it. We read all of them, the tweets, the messages, the notes in the mail about rule through the stop sign.
I'm sure our yeah. RCMP contingent is going to be all over for me. Again, I'm going to blame my wife. I never
it,
do that.
Yeah, so. It would have been funnier had I been able to spit it out without stuttering, but,
yeah,
you know, I was texting, so.
Right.
So all the tweets, the messages, the emails, the comment posts. Although the comments on the website might get shut down pretty quick. It's just that the spam is getting kind of out of hand right now.
Okay.
Now the spam catcher does an okay job, but a lot gets through right now, and I have zero interest in trying to police that.
I'm gonna admit that I didn't even know until you said that we had a website. So I haven't read anything off our website ever.
Okay.
But I have occasionally been on Facebook. Again, I seldom go there either. So if someone does want a response, I would suggest the first place to leave a comment or a message would be on through our email, because I do check that.
Yep, email is good. Facebook is good with me. Twitter is good. I know you don't Twitter, but all those things. So anyway,
I don't do any of that.
Point being, we got a lot of feedback.
Saying that I'm awesome, right? Like,
oh, yeah, no question. Yeah. Signed Adam S. but more importantly, we've got a lot of, you know, basically show ideas, like lists and lists. Like some guys made, like, you know, two-page lists of potential topics that we could, you know, essentially ignore. But
right, yeah.
No, so I'm going to go through those and compile those. And so I'm going to say much appreciated. And a lot of people we've got more than one person, which is technically a lot.
People. You can say people, yeah.
I can say people who have said that you know, when they started listening to the show, they were you know, at your level, and now they are, you know, working pros. They're getting paid, not necessarily full-time, some of them are considering it, but they are getting paid to take photos now. So that's pretty great. I'm kind of proud of that.
You should be.
Well, you and I should be.
Oh, okay.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing to, you know, that was part of it. And also a number of people did comment on liking the personal aspect of it, the, you know, the stop sign stories of Adam and stuff like that.
Ticked off, personal stuff.
Yeah. They do. So that,
it's real anger. I didn't manufacture that. I wasn't going to talk about that, but I was actually kind of a little bit angry. So.
A little indignant. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to light a fire every now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't go gently into that good night, Adam.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my tip for you. Anyway, so thanks very much, everybody. We are computing those, and we'll definitely take that into consideration moving forward. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Not really.
Not really.
No, I just the stuff that, again, is going to be part of the photo challenge. It's funny, like, right now with me, anyways, it's like activities full blown every day after. So I think we have one day a week where we're not going somewhere with the kids. And if it's not me working late, you know, it's us shuttling the kids right when we get home from work off to their activities and whatnot. So a bit of a running start just after spring break in terms of what baseball and hockey and power skating and dance with the kids. It's just, I'm short on photo time. I actually have to multitask. I'm helping coach the kids' baseball, and then I'm going to actually have to bring my camera out and take photos while I'm attempting to wrangle 7-year-olds. So I'm going to get any photos, life is busy. You know,
so you're the coach of the team.
I'm the assistant because I'm doing it with the same guys I did it with last year, but I don't want to be the guy that has to send out the emails. So that's why I'm an assistant.
There's an automated program now.
Yeah, I know. Lisa was a team manager in hockey and she used it in that, but still there's a lot of back and forth with people.
Do it.
No, and I would rather just help with the on-field stuff, and that's what I like to do. And so it's great. I get to do that part and be out there with Jack, and the other kids are great. And I don't have to do the email communication because the other fella takes care of that. So that's best. That's best for me.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Coaching 7-year-olds must be a challenge.
It's actually quite a lot of fun, and I think largely because there's a good ratio. So I don't know. I don't know what it's like in every sport, but I know in hockey, the ratio is parent helpers to kids out on the ice. It's probably at least 12-13 to 1, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in our baseball, we've got, what do we have? We have 8 kids and 3 coaches, and it was the same last year. So you're basically a 2-to-1 ratio, 2.5.
Wait, how do you play with 8 kids?
It's T-ball, so you basically, the ball seldom goes out of the outfield, and right. you don't have a pitcher because there's a T, so you can quite easily make do with 8.
You still have someone fielding that position though, don't you?
You don't field the pitcher position. Otherwise, every ball will be fielded by the pitcher.
I understand.
Yeah,
that's so how it was when I was playing T-ball.
Yeah,
I was at Lord of the Jungle. Don't hit it there. Get better fast.
Yeah,
9th batter.
Yeah. And the last batter always gets to do the home run. So they start playing actual baseball.
Wait. That was my next question. Like, our deal is if you couldn't get 3 outs in the inning, which normally you couldn't.
Yeah.
You're only allowed 9 batters.
Yeah, everyone bats once. That's the rule. So whether they have 7 on the other team or 8 or 9,
bats every inning?
Everybody bats. We only basically how it works is you play 2 kind of mini games. We're out there for an hour. So you play 2 1 inning games. So each team bats once and everyone gets to bat. And then you do one 20 minute practice. So you're out there for an hour. You do 2 little 20 minute games where everyone bats. And then you do 1 20 minute practice. So they end up getting 2 turns at bat, 2 turns out in the field. And then we usually just play some games and do some throwing practice and stuff in the 20 minute practice part. So it moves really well. And when the kids are out in the field, while they're waiting, while someone like the coach on the other team is setting up the batter, we're throwing and catching ground balls and pop ups and stuff with the kids. So they stay active the whole time. It really is good, and it's not a lot of waiting around. I imagine T-ball as the most boring thing on the planet, but it's actually pretty engaging, and the kids get a lot of exercise, so it's good, and they all love it. So.
I'm still stuck on the everybody hits once and then the game is over.
Yeah, that's all it is. Everyone hits once.
I can't endorse that.
They're 7 though, so
I understand that.
Yeah, they do make outs. Like there's a few of them out there that can make outs, and it's great. But if you get they hit a ground ball, a lot of ground balls go to second, and if your second baseman can pick up a grounder and your first baseman can catch, they'll make some outs. That's often not the case. The first baseman forgets to go to the bag, or yesterday Jack played second and threw it at the first baseman and he wasn't looking at it, nearly hit him right in the face. It missed by maybe an inch, and I was like, oh no, like he's looking at home plate. He has no clue that the ball is coming to him. It was like the first grounder, and Jack threw it pretty hard and almost took his face off. So it's funny. Even if you get thrown out at first, you still go to first.
What?
Yeah. Oh yeah. You go to first and then you can't take two. You crush one in the field and you stop at first unless you're the last batter. And then the last batter, regardless of where they hit it, will run the entire bases. So that's T-ball. That's Richmond T-ball.
That's not T-ball.
That's T-ball. This is the world we live in now, Al. You know this. It's all about inclusion and everyone having a smile on their face. And I'm sure, you know, you might have some issues with this, but
yeah, obviously,
let's keep kids in the game, learning the skills long enough to decide whether or not they want to play when they're 8 or 9. So
kid's going to play when he's 8 or 9.
Yeah, my kid is, but I think there's some kids that might be on the fence that might not play. So,
right. There's some kids who, you know,
we need to create a pool. In Richmond, actually, they've done this. This is getting a little off topic, but they have basically brought in a guy that's kind of doing like the Richmond Minor Development Program in the last couple of years. Uh-huh. And what they're showing is, well, last year the midget team or whatever won the provincial championships. I think they lost one game all year. They beat every top team ranked in BC, so they played all the best teams and beat everybody, and they're showing that their development program works. So I mean, who am I to argue with it? So this is the best Richmond baseball's looked in the last forever, I think.
Well, I wouldn't say in my day we had like a lot of guys play. Like we had you'd shut down number 3 road for a opening day parade.
Yeah.
Right, which I have pictures of, which I'm going to post that picture. When I was in T-ball, we marched down number 3, and it looked a little bit different back then.
This isn't going to be an hour episode, I think. I'm just going to warn everybody.
I understand, but you've angered me, and I don't think I don't see the correlation between everybody smiling and pretending that that's baseball.
No,
with winning baseball when you're 17.
Bigger talent pool.
So I understand that part.
That's all it is. That's statistics. You get more kids playing, you're going to have more talent.
That's not baseball, though.
But throwing and catching and hitting, that's the skill set that you have to develop in order to be good baseball players later on. Again, think of 6 and 7 year olds. You want the biggest group of 6 and 7 year olds, and then you can draw on the talent.
Yeah, but I don't want to punish your kid. Like, if he smacks one to the fence, he's to stop at first. I'm not punishing your kid for that.
It doesn't hurt his feelings. He's just happy if he can hit it over
his feelings.
No, but I'm saying all he cares about is he wants to hit it over the infielder's head. Whether he runs all the way around or runs to first, to him it's no different.
Right.
At this stage, because he doesn't know any different. That's the way it's just been. So, and I'm sure when he gets to run the bases, he'll think that's fun too. But right now it's all about, can he hit it over the head of the infielders? That's his objective. I'd say 50% of the time.
Okay. See, there you go. That's good.
Yeah.
And we're going to reward that by making him stop at first, like all the other kids who can't do it.
See,
there's no point, Jack. No point in hitting it because you get the same outcome.
No, because he gets the oohs and ahs from his buddies. He gets there's definitely an appreciation, and
does he
understands
stop for a selfie at first?
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes,
yeah, yeah.
No, I've heard that's a whole episode about something I was introduced to this year called baseball swag. Apparently, it's a thing for the kids. I say kids, like 18 to 20 year olds, to get all dolled up and like have their own little like wristbands, but all kind of weird stuff.
Yeah,
like weird kind of things, and they like to. Apparently, now that the trend is to stop and pose after you swing and miss at strike 3. If you stop and pose, it looks awesome for your Instagram.
Great, I'm gonna try that. Hey, on a photography note, because we've yet to mention anything other than me taking pictures of the community people.
I don't even want you to take pictures of what you call T-ball.
Oh no, but here's
the thing: you don't need pictures of that. Jack's gonna want to forget that.
Slow down there, okay, Chief. The light is awesome at the T-ball time right now because it's 6 to 7 and the light comes in low and golden. And I was it was the first day of baseball, and so I said, no, I'm not bringing the camera on day one. Yeah, first day of our baseball, okay?
First day of community fun day.
Okay, and I was almost a little bit of regret that I didn't bring the camera, just because such nice light and such big happy smiling faces on those players.
Yeah, all right,
a lot of dead air there.
Wow.
Okay, let's move on. But okay. I will take some photos at some point. So.
Okay, but of good stuff, not of what you just described.
Yeah, of someone crushing the ball.
There you go.
The outfield. Yeah,
that's fine. That's yeah. I understand, and I understand that there's a thing called blast ball too. And I'm not on board.
Either. We skipped yeah. blast ball.
See, that's the whole thing. It's great. Yeah. Anyways, I shot pictures today.
Okay.
Shot some portrait session in the house. I had like was it eight different people came through? It was like for a website.
Oh, this is more of the white background thing that you were doing a while back, or is this different?
It's similar, actually. They're different project, different client, but based on that job. It's basically I got a second job
off of the first job,
off of that one. So it's nice to get that second date. You know, you feel okay, good. Now perhaps I'll get more work out of this. But
okay.
No, it was good. It was interesting because the last lady who came through, she is a little older. And I was told first thing in the morning that she, you know, she's the last one coming, and she's very, very, very nervous. Does not want to get her picture taken.
Okay.
And then she showed up, and it went over quite well. We talked for a little bit, and I, you know, assured her that I can, you know, I'm going to take good pictures, and I mean, I lied to her, really.
Yeah. Hey, you know what you shouldn't say to her?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with your face?
That's what I did say.
Yeah. That's usually what I call that the icebreaker.
She said it's an old T-ball injury. Yeah. Some kid's self-esteem hit me in the mouth. Yeah. No, but she actually, like, she is older. Like, I must say older. She's in her, I'm assuming in her late 60s,
I
maybe early 70s.
She's 48 years old.
Yeah. It's hard to. She's a heavy smoker, so it was hard to tell.
Right.
But no, so she's, you know, in her 60s or 70s or whatever it is, and probably late 60s, I'll say. So obviously she has some wrinkles.
Yes.
Right? And so she even said, can you retouch the pictures? And I just said, no. Like, I'm not going to. I said, I have a very good lens. I have a very good, very flattering light. I'm lighting you very nicely. And so it won't be harsh. It won't be like it won't make matters worse.
Right.
But it's going to be honest. It's going to be the best version of you that there is. And basically, like I said to her, and you can do this in Germany, you can speak your mind.
Right.
I said, like, you know, yeah, you're older, but like, because she talked about her wrinkles or whatever, and I said, but you've earned those. Like, not you, her specifically, but older people tend to have earned those, and so don't feel bad about it.
Okay.
And then at the end,
or they earned Botox.
No, she didn't do Botox.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I, but it was nice. We had a little talk, and then she felt very comfortable, and then she complained about how her last passport photo was just terrible. Like, really makes her look terrible. I said, well, that's what passport photos do.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, hey, why don't I take one for you right now? Because it's almost the exact same setup we were shooting. Just I had to modify one. I had to take it back, the kicker light, and bring it around the front to just sort of clamshell so that it was nice, evenly lit on her face.
Yeah.
With the white background remaining. And, you know, to shoot an in tight shot, and shot her passport photo for her. And I'm not going to charge her. I'm just going to send it to her and say, here, next, if you need it next time. And perhaps it'll lead to more work. I think it will.
Great.
So there you go. So did that today.
Yeah, that's that goes under the category of pro bono work, which I don't know if we've ever actually, you know, spent any real time talking about. Because I think a lot of people, like you say, if our listener base is kind of in that sort of boat that I am, which is, you know, does some work on the side. It's not a primary business. Maybe they want it to be a primary business. Maybe they don't. But regardless, doing pro bono work is what you have to do it if you're expecting more work.
If you like, yeah, it's you know, do you want to catch flies with vinegar or honey, right? That's kind of how it goes. And really only a hillbilly sits around and catches flies.
Right.
So think about that.
Yeah.
No, for me, it was like, there's a difference between pro bono and, you know, getting ripped off.
Right.
And this wasn't really pro bono because I was already set up. It was just a, hey, while we're here, and she didn't ask. I mean, I definitely, if she'd asked, I probably wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, or there would have been a charge. But
yeah, it would have been something. But I also don't like to nickel and dime people, and so you know, like this was a project that, you know, I'm getting paid fairly on, and so I have zero complaints, and thus I was happy to do it, and knowing that, you know, the kind of circles that she runs in, all it takes is one good review from her.
Yeah.
She's not that two-star guy from England. One good review from her, and her friends are going to be calling, because also friends in her age bracket, in her circles, probably don't have digital photography as a hobby.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, if you kind of know your market, it's very easy. I mean to create work by doing a little bit of pro bono. Like I last year, I knew full well when I was doing the hockey green screen, I did one of my team as a free thing because it's for my team. But I knew full well that the hockey community is going to share this around, and someone else on another team is going to see it, and immediately it's going to lead to a paid job. So I was doing it for my team for fun, but I kind of knew it was going to lead to more work of this kind. And so then that's exactly what happened. And so then saw other people on a different team saw the photo and said, can you do that for us? We'll pay you. And then that's how you get work.
Right. That's the way to do it.
So do that, people. If you want to work as a photographer, find something that you're good at and find that group that is going to talk about it or hand it off. And I've done that for my kids even since preschool, as I've gone and shown up and asked the teacher of whatever on the playground, can I take a few photos? This is all free stuff. And then the parents all see the photos and like this and find ask about you doing this, and work comes from it, right?
Yes. So. I think you're right. I think that's a show unto itself, pro bono.
There you go.
Yeah.
Just creating topics on the go.
Yeah, exactly. Pro bono. Worst skier ever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry, too soon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. This week's challenge was colors.
Yes.
Because of, it's a good time for colors. So I'm going to nominate that I do mine first. I did not get permission, but I'm going to talk about this shot anyway on the off chance that I get permission before the show airs on Monday.
What if you don't?
I have a backup we'll talk about too. Because the second one's
quickly. You'll talk about it and then not show it? Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. I think I'm going to gamble. I think they'll be cool with it. Well, it's a kid who plays in our organization, and their parents, I think they like me, so...
I'm pretty sure this is going to be what gets the podcast sued.
For what?
I'm not sure. But yeah. Something. Yeah. We're getting sued. Yeah.
So here we go. All right. So this was a shot for the newspaper. This will probably go in the newspaper. I don't know. It was a press release. So they're doing an interview with a kid on the under 13 team, under 12 team, something like that.
Okay.
And so I said, well, hey, I'll come out and we'll snap a photo to accompany that. And this is what I came up with. The reason I wanted to talk about it for the colors is because this was a very gray day. Mm-hmm. Like, these were just kind of lousy, gray, ugly clouds. And there was no color to be found except for in his shirt. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to make something dramatic. And so I knew going in exactly what I would do. So what did I do?
You lit this and you used the tungsten and an orange filter on the light.
We call it a gel on the light.
Yeah.
Filter goes on the lens.
Sorry. A gel on the light, and you use tungsten to create the dramatic difference in the blue.
Exactly. Mundo. This is a one light shot. So basically what I did was I got the kid to stand up on a chair because we have trees around and I wanted to get him above the tree line and kind of shoot upwards at him into the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's standing on a chair. This was with the 50 mil at... Now, because I'm shooting with a flash and I need to use, you know, really full power, I want to overpower that sky. So I'm shooting at ISO 100, shutter speed of 1/200th, I think, is the max I can go with the 5D Mark II, And that puts me, the Sky, at around like an F-11 or an F-13 or something like that. Like, so maybe even F-16.
Okay.
In order to get this, because otherwise it's just flat gray. Like it's just gonna render as flat, kind of blown out. Not even blown out, but just nothing. It's got no definition to it at all. So, but at underexposed at F-13, F-16, it looks like this is the texture that you get.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did exactly what you said. I balanced at around 3200. For the tungsten, which makes the outside light just turn blue. And that's that. Now, the flash, I put the full CTO over it, over a bare SB28, just out of frame. Shooting, I think I managed to get it at half power, just so the recycle rate would be fast enough. And put it just out of frame on full zoom, and basically fired it right into his face. And that's what we get. So when it's balanced for that, his skin tones look approximately normal, and everything else drops off to a nice deep blue.
Mm-hmm.
So in essence, this is out of camera. I didn't have to do anything to this. I that's actually false. But for the most part, I touched up nothing.
Cool. I knew what you'd done just because I remember you doing this in the past with baseball. Just like you say, you get a day where it's kind of overcast and this is kind of how you can create sort of a dramatic, almost stormy like lighting situation that that looks cool.
That's the way. Well, one of the other issues is that our field is not tremendously photogenic.
Mm.
Most of the parks that we play at are, like, you look at the team photos from the teams we play, and then they shoot them in front of their scoreboard or whatever it is. Ours just doesn't have that appeal, which is kind of, you know, too bad. So you have to work around that. So how do you work around that? Well, by doing this, by leaving the field completely out of it. But the one touch-up that I did have to do, I did it right in Lightroom, I didn't mess around in Photoshop, is I did have to remove a couple of dust spots. Because once you're shooting at F-16, you're going to start to see a lot of sensor dust.
Mm-hmm.
Which you don't normally pick up at f2.8, you won't even notice it, but here you do. So I basically had to remove a couple of those, only two or three, surprisingly, and that's really, really easy to do in something like this right in Lightroom.
Okay,
and then let's have a look at yours.
Okay, mine is was white background, and I put four pictures because both kids wanted to be in the photo challenge this week.
Okay.
And then I thought, okay, well, you know, Sarah has something bright. She's wearing her tap costume, so she really wanted to showcase her tap costume. And then we just got Jack's baseball. Like, they're just T-shirts this year. Last year they had jerseys, but then you had to give them back. This year they use T-shirt material, and then they get to keep them. And they got their numbers on the back and whatnot. But I thought bright yellow.
Number eight again?
No, his team only had high numbers.
No, like, don't. You're making it worse, Adam.
He didn't. He had a choice between, like, it was like 28 to like 45. And he has, I think he's 35. So, yeah, he was kind of disappointed. He wanted the eight, but
35?
His team, there was no. Every team was a little bit of a different spread of numbers. I don't know why they did it the way I was a bit saddened by the fact that he wasn't going to be able to keep his number. But yeah, it is what it is. But I did like the bright colors, and I thought, okay, well, this is what we'll do. They want to be in the photo challenge. He'll do baseball. She'll do her dance costume, and we'll do a couple different poses. So that's what we did. And what I tried to show is I did. Like, this is the big white seamless that these were shot on, but I tinkered around a little bit with the lights, and, you know, I had two lights on the back and then one up front, and then I dialed the power up and down. The flashes on the paper were in with shoot through umbrellas, kind of flagged so that I'd keep most of the light off them.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of showed that different shades of gray. Like, I have pure white kind of in the bottom right, and then a darker gray up in the top right, and then sort of a medium gray in the bottom left, and then a very light gray in the top left. So just by, you know, you know, are a third of a stop up or down on any individual light, you get such a nice range. And out of all of them, I probably like the top right darker gray sort of background the best. So
I do too. I mean, yeah. In terms of background, yes. When I lit the white background today for the portrait session, and they actually wanted to use they wanted the people to be basically sort of smaller in the frame. They didn't want to have just nice close ups. They wanted wide shots and using a lot of the white background. Mm-hmm. So I basically had to use every inch of it that I could, and I didn't want it to be like a cutout white background. I wanted it to be sort of that you could see that it was real. Mm-hmm. And to me, that means just under perfect white.
Okay.
So I happen to like that. So like what you did with your daughter, I like that look as well because it doesn't look like you cut it out in Photoshop.
Right.
And out of the four pictures, the two close-ups are actually my favorite ones.
I agree. Definitely like the close-ups.
The Jack holding the bat over the shoulders, that's great. That's a great pose. It really shows that he plays baseball, but it looks natural and appealing.
Yeah, and I told him not to have the big toothy grin. I went with like close your mouth. Like this is the Al Attridge, just because then it becomes all about the fact that he's got no teeth. And I have enough pictures of his front two teeth out that I was like, let's just close your mouth. And again, then it's more about everything else rather than you stare right at the toothless grin.
No, know? that's a good photo. That right there, that'd be the one for the wall.
Okay.
That would be one that, I mean, other parents would like. Now getting off the photo part for a second, are those actual baseball pants that Jack has?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Tuck the shirt in.
No, we did for baseball, but I encouraged him to tuck it in for the photo, but he's like, nah. And I said, okay. And hence why, you see the photo I like is the closer mm-hmm. up because
yes.
of the tuck, but I did convince him to tuck it in for playing baseball.
This is a conversation I have with the guys on my team. Who are between 16 and 25 years old, I have to tell them every game, pregame, hey, tuck your jersey in. Because we have warm-up jerseys, right? And so, like, I don't care what you do. If you're wearing shorts, I don't care. Go ahead, do what you want. But if you're wearing baseball pants, you tuck your shirt in. The end.
Yeah, the other caveat you'd like to hear about is that, I think I mentioned this last year, but at the end of T-ball, they do like a relay. The kids think it's the greatest thing ever. Like they mm-hmm. basically three teams, you run the bases, they're all going at the same time. So, you know, someone starts on first, second, and third, mm-hmm. and you kind of hand the ball off as you run around. And so your whole team goes, and it is a race, and there is a winner. If one team has one less player, they have to run someone twice. But anyways, our team and every other team takes this very seriously. And, two of the kids were, you know, turning their hat around backwards, thinking, oh, I'm going to be able to run faster this way. We shot that down real quick. I was all over that in the, no, at baseball, you wear your hat facing straight ahead. There's a respect for the game. Yeah.
Today is the day where you and I'm just going to disagree on everything. I agree. I do not wear my hat backwards. I don't have as big an issue with that anymore just because Ken Griffey Jr. was pretty awesome.
Okay.
But I hear what you're saying. There are things that are, for me, are nails on the chalkboard, and that's the untucked shirt.
But
and
yet,
there's more. It's going to get worse.
No, for you, because you've heavily preached the hat off kilter a little bit as one of your mm-hmm. biggest kind of griefs with the younger generation. So
yes.
how can you have it both ways? How can you say it, to me it's a respect for the sport kind of issue, and
yeah.
Again, the uniform is the uniform. So you can't say on one hand to tuck the pants in and then have your hat backwards.
It depends on when he's having it. If it's only during the race, it's not going to. I'm on board with you shooting it down. I'm just saying it wouldn't bug me. During the race, I'd be okay with it. During batting practice, I'm kind of okay with it. The rest of the time,
give an inch, take a mile, man. Give an inch, take a mile.
No. If you take ground balls with a backwards hat, yeah, you're in big trouble. Like you're out of here.
But you're no also joke. Dealing with 7-year-olds, not 18-year-olds, where they can distinguish that difference.
Oh, there I disagree. They behave like 7-year-olds.
Okay.
Yeah. So you know, you're right. I think you're right. I think you're right to do it. I'm just saying, on a personal note, it doesn't bug me as much in certain situations. However, you are right to make that call.
Yeah. Thank you for your approval.
Yes, but you know what's coming up next?
What?
For the kids. I'm not sure what age it starts at. It's the fancy kind of Oakley sort of sunglasses.
Yeah.
Not for wearing sunglasses.
Right.
But for wearing on top of your hat.
Right.
And what they do is, here's what the cool kids do, is they wear them in the game on top of their hat, but upside down.
Oh, I've seen it. That's nails on the chalkboard for
me. Yeah, me too. And I say to the guys, like, I've never seen you actually wear the sunglasses ever. Never in the field, and certainly not at the plate, in which you're not. I would not, you know, allow you to do anyways. But why would you do it? So why have it? Why don't I just take my, my camera out there with me? Put it down on first base.
Let me tell you the equivalent to that, now that we're going off on things that we hate that young people do. Hopefully we don't have any young listeners.
So. I'm sure we have tons.
Okay, but there's this guy at the gym who has his headphones, and they're the earbud headphones,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, not the big headset ones, but the earbud ones, and they're looped over their ears and just dangling down in front.
Yeah.
Have you seen that move?
Yeah.
I want to fight those kids.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but it is not functional in any way, and it's idiotic. Or I think this is a realtor move. So again, let's alienate all our realtor listeners. The sunglasses on the back of your head, basically hanging down. You know that move where it's kind of on your neck. The sunglasses are on they're on your neck.
Yeah,
it's like a delicate balancing move, that a Cirque du Soleil of sunglasses.
How do you walk around like that?
I swear you have to be a realist.
Like, I want to sneeze just behind those guys' back and go, oh, well, that's on you.
Yeah.
That one is on you. Literally, that one is on you.
All right.
I don't know. I understand.
I'm done ranting. Who else can I alienate?
Save it for the Christmas episode this year. We'll have the big list of grievances. Yeah.
It's the cool guy move. Or it's, you know who else it is? It's the convertible move. It's like, you know, you have a... I don't know, like a cool guy convertible that's 30 years old and not well kept, but you still break it out on the sunny day, and then you put the sunglasses on the back of your head, and let your neck not get sore.
I hear you.
Okay. All right. I'm done. I'm dropping the mic. I'm walking. Is there a topic this week?
Well, I know. Hang on. I have a backup photo to talk about quickly.
Oh,
in case I don't get permission.
Okay, wait a sec. The backup photo is the topic for this week.
No, it's not. Don't worry.
Come on. We're like 45 minutes.
I know. We said we'd stop. Here's my backup photo. The other night, we were out. We were inside about to have dinner, and I looked outside and saw it was great T-ball weather. It was just amazing. Like you said, the weather at T-ball time. Now, there was no T-ball, but the weather, like the light was just fantastic. And so I said to my wife, that's it, we're going outside, like getting the kids, and we're running outside, and we did. Threw some clothes on the kids, some outdoor clothes. They were wearing their house clothes, and threw some nice stuff on and ran outside, just kind of ran around the field for like a half an hour.
Okay.
Out by our house, just because that low sunlight was just making the colors really pop. And so, like, this one's really simple to talk about. It's nothing, like, basically all it is such an open field that I can stand way back with my 70 to 200 on 200 and snap away with available light and just keep my back to the sun and get nice, rich colors from the kids and from the grass. And you can even see the sky a little bit up there. It's still blue. And it's just such a great time to be shooting. So definitely get out there at magic hour.
Okay, I'm not gonna say anything about the photo because I feel like we'll run extra long. It's the photo. The photo is good.
Yeah, You wish They're my happy. Son. Do you wish he had his shirt tucked in?
Yeah. Yeah, I wish he did. The leggings, like, I just, that's such a Sarah thing. Like,
yeah.
for that same age, that, mm-hmm. that kind of was all that she, everything, like, as many colors as you could pack onto a leg as possible.
Oh, absolutely. I think I even bought those for her based on me seeing Sarah wear them one time.
Yes. No, Sarah will appreciate it. There you go.
All right.
This is in the same spot as last week, it looks like to me.
No.
That's just what Germany looks like.
Wildly different, yeah. Well, we live kind of in the countryside, so there's a lot of this going on.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know. I was like, this looks to me like you just did a kid swap, and then a slightly different light, take the same picture.
So. Nope.
Okay, all right, different spot.
Different spot, different day, probably about 10 kilometers, 15 kilometers separating them. So.
Okay, that's all. I just needed to know that.
Yeah.
Now we can stop.
Okay. No, our topic. We have a topic.
Come on.
I don't like your attitude.
Okay. That's what everyone's saying right now is they're saying, we need
They want to hear more complaining. They want to hear more complaining, and this is a complaining topic, but it's not. I truly believe in this. The topic is, are we there yet? So the question I want to ask, and this is, I'm not asking you because you have a terrible attitude today, but
I'm going to rant about this for like 28 minutes.
Our listeners, the listeners out there, I want to know, honestly, I think we are there, but are we there yet? Have we reached the point where 99% of photographers can be satisfied with the technology?
I was thinking about this in a different way, so okay.
What were you thinking about?
I was thinking about when, you're trying to set up the shot, and your kids the whole time are like, are you ready, Dad? Is it set up? Is it ready? Right. I'm ready. Are you ready, Dad? Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's a whole different thing. No. Yeah. But technology-wise. See, right now, here's the thing. I think we can all agree that the technology is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Like I stopped paying attention. It's that good.
That's what I'm getting at. I promise I never even – I don't even tell Adam what we're going to talk about until right now. Like literally right now is when he finds out what the topic is.
Yes, yeah.
And so – but that's my point is that I think I've stopped paying attention too. But cameras in particular have advanced so much in the last 10 to 15 years. Like it's truly unbelievable. What about the last 2 years?
Right.
Have they?
Again, they've added 9 million sensor points or whatever you want to call it, autofocus points, yeah.
But and your creativity is...
Yeah, I'm not sure they're shooting different photos yet.
No, I don't think... Like, if you think about...
The mirrorless part has changed, but again, I don't really keep up on it and care. But
that's fine, yeah. that mirrorless stuff. But like what I'm saying is like 15 years ago, could you in the span of like... Think about how you know, maybe it took you, I don't know, 2 years to really get really good at taking off-camera flash, let's say. I forget. I'd have to look back on the episodes. Sure. I'm not going to.
But probably longer than that. I got into
okay.
it. Yeah, in the first, I'm going to say in the first 50 episodes. But again, not exactly sure. So pretty
call
sure.
Call it 36 months, just for this, just for argument's
sure.
sake.
Sure, yeah.
Now, 20 years ago, in 1996... If I said to you, okay, here you go, by 1999, I want you to be able to take professional-looking like photos with four lights, four off-camera lights. You're going to light this whole scene. Go. There's no digital, by the way. You're just going to have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Could you learn that in 36 months? The answer is no.
Okay, no.
You're not going to. I mean, if you were fully immersed into a three-year program at like, you know, NYU or something like that, yeah, okay, then maybe. But the level, the rate at which you can learn now because of the technology is just outstanding. Okay?
Agreed.
However, it was like that 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like nothing, like in the last couple of years, you know, the ISO gets higher. Acceptable
Wi-Fi
ISO?
Capabilities, like other stuff that
gadgets,
doesn't.
Yeah, gimmicks.
Exactly. Exact gimmicks and gadgets.
Which I understand because they have to keep selling new units. Okay, mm-hmm. But what I'm asking is, in the last couple of years, where is the practical innovation?
I don't see it.
I do not see it in consumer products myself. Tons of hype. I see a lot of hype about different things about, you know, I don't even know if people care anymore about the next camera coming out. Oh, it's got this, it's got that. I don't know. Maybe people do.
I would only care if I was just entering the market, right? That's about it. Well, I would, just because I would be looking at, okay, you know, like, should I get something that's 2 years old that can do this, or should I get the one that's newer that will do this? And that's about the only consumer, in terms of for myself, that I would have to be to care.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
In that regard, I mean, in that respect, I would say, you know, I tell people, yeah, buy something 5 years old. Go ahead. You're brand new, you're entering DSLR photography, or just SLR photography. Go ahead and buy a camera that's 5 years old. They're awesome.
Yeah,
you know, that's great. So in terms of the consumer end of things, I don't see much real practical innovation in the last couple of years.
Okay.
However, there is one thing. I think it was announced this week, or I saw the video this week. Do you know what Lytro is?
No.
Okay, I bet you do. It was actually kind of funny, because about a year after Chris Marquardt and I did the Invisible Camera, this thing called Lytro came out, which is the camera that you can snap a photo and you can adjust focus in post-production.
Oh, I remember you talking about it.
Yeah. Okay. At the time, no one really saw much use for it. People thought it was the reason I said it was a year after the Invisible Camera, because we got a lot of emails saying, hey, is this another joke? And I said, no, we have nothing to do with this, and I have no idea if it's a joke or not. Turns out it was real. The technology was real. I didn't see the practical application for it for photography. And they tried to, you know, make a camera, like a consumer camera, and they didn't. Like, I guess they did, but it didn't see a lot of traction. However, this week, I think it was this week, they announced a Lytro movie camera.
Okay.
It is amazing. If you want to find out what it does, basically check, you know, go ahead and Google it. You'll see what it does. It is absolutely an amazing, amazing piece of hardware. Ignoring almost everything that it does and focusing on one particular feature.
Okay.
You can adjust the focal plane in post-production just as you could with a still camera. That's what they're claiming.
Mm-hmm.
So you now have a movie where you can do a rack focus in the shot sitting at your computer. Rack focus being, let's say you've seen them in the movies before when maybe someone's talking to somebody else and you're focused on that one person, and as the other person starts to talk, the camera then shifts focus to the other person.
Yeah.
They do that in camera. You have to have a focus assist doing that. It's all mapped out ahead of time. It's not lucky. It's not autofocus.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to basically choreograph these moves. And if you miss, you miss. That's it. Now with this Lytro camera, evidently, you can just shoot the whole thing as is and then decide on focus later.
Hmm.
So you can rack back and forth exactly the spots that you want, or maybe you change your mind and post. You want to focus on this and leave that out, you know, adjust the bokeh. Boom. You can do all that. Nothing is baked in.
That's pretty crazy.
But is it good?
Well, it probably saves time for movie productions.
I disagree.
If that's the way they go. Well, it saves time for the actors, and the high price talent might cost more money on the editorial end, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it gets the actors in and out of there faster, which will save money.
In that respect, yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of it from that respect. I thought about it like, you know, you're now eliminating a job, first of all, which is, it's fine with me. I'm not married to having, you know, just because it's a job, we shouldn't always keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
However, like, now your focus, your second cam, your first camera, your focus assist, he's gone. Don't need him anymore. But for me, I think it's a bad thing. I don't see the point of it, because good storytelling is the important thing. We don't all go to the movies to watch wicked awesome rack focus.
Right.
I mean, ideally, if a rack focus is good, you'll never notice it. It's embedded in the action. You will never notice. The camera techniques, sure, they can be cool and innovative and stuff like that, but they don't last. It's not like there's a move that you can see it in the movie Jaws. You can see it in the movie Goodfellas and a whole bunch of other things where it's called a dolly zoom, where you zoom the camera, you dolly the camera in physically, like on tracks, mm-hmm. while at the same time you're zooming out. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the effect of that, in zooming out, now the back, in that case, your subject is going to basically remain in the center of the frame, and the background is just going to grow. Mm. And you do it the other way, if you dolly back and zoom in, it's going to compress the background while the camera's rolling, and it can be used to great effect. In Jaws, I think it's one of the first beach scenes when Roy Scheider's on the beach and there's a shark attack. You can see that shot happen, and it works great in that. Goodfellas, it's kind of a much slower one. They're sitting in the diner towards the end of the movie. It's kind of it's kind of a hey, look what I can do. Mm-hmm. But it's Scorsese when Scorsese was at his peak, so it actually doesn't take away from the story at all. However, you can beat it to death, and you can make it happen and for no reason and draws attention to itself. Same is true with rack focuses and stuff like that. So I think the good storytelling is what we need to always focus on. No matter what happens, the technology changes, you still need a good story.
Correct.
I
will agree with you.
Instead of just kind of polishing a turd. You don't want to do that.
Okay.
You know, that's what it is. That's what the technology can do.
Okay. Don't do that technology.
But a lot of people, that's a lot of what's happening. You go see movies nowadays, that's a lot of what movies are. It's like, oh yeah, you quickly hurry up. Like the CGI on this is amazing. It looks so realistic. But it's not an interesting movie at all. Right? So
right.
Like for me, there's something to be said for making a conscious creative decision and sticking with it. And like this is what leads to art. Is taking a stand and saying this is what I'm going to focus on, or this, and saying if next time I'll do it differently if it didn't work out, but changing your mind doesn't necessarily lead to good visceral art, or good calm snapshots, photographs, snapshots, whatever it is. If you make that decision, if you're capable on that day to go and make that decision, you're going to appreciate that photo. You're going to make your snapshots art. Later, having been able to change it and manipulate it and really being crippled by choice is going to lead to more bad than good. Not 100%, of course. Like, there are going to be a very, very, very select few who are going to take this Lytro camera and really make it sing and say, here's some things that we couldn't do in the past. Like, we can have amazing depth of field in a low-lit scene.
Right.
Whereas normally, like now, even with high ISOs, if you want to shoot at night, you still ain't going to have to shoot at an f2, and you're not going to get that deep focus that you're looking for. Well, now you can do it. With the Lytro, you can do that. But have you ever seen a movie called Citizen Kane?
No.
If you go to film school, you have to tell people that you did see it.
Okay.
That's one of those ones that you have to admit that you saw it and you loved it, and it's the number one movie of all time. It is not. Let me tell you, it is not the number one movie of all time. Like, the greatest movie ever made, it's not that. And it's hailed because, oh, look at the deep focus shots, and he did this, and he was able to crane the camera in through the skylight, and he did all these, like, for technically speaking, what he did, what Orson Welles did was impossible at the time, in 1930, 41, or whatever it was. Impossible to do, yet he did it, and that's awesome. I hated the story.
Okay.
So most people who say they like it, it's like, yeah, same as The Great Gatsby. Oh yeah, it's awesome. No, it's not. It's kind of a snoozer. Okay? But you know, there was good stuff back then. That wasn't one of them. For me, anyways. Either I'm a snob or totally not a snob. I don't know, whichever it is. Point being, just because you can do it doesn't mean it's gonna make for great art. And the last example.
But I see, in my opinion, it's like you know, the more tools to inspire creativity in the hands of the right people, we will see great art. And that's kind of, I mean, I don't know anything about this light show thing, but in terms of what you're describing, I look at it as, again, in the hands of a super creative person, we could potentially reach new heights, and that's a good thing.
Potentially, like the less than 1% of people who will do something good will do something amazing.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of crap. Agreed, that's always what happens. But again, there is that potential to see things that weren't possible before that could be amazing. I love advancement when it can be, you know, used by creative people.
For example, just
the problem is there's too many people using it that aren't particularly
what
creative.
Percentage of 3D movies do you like?
Oh, I don't like 3D. 3D, I think there's one. I enjoyed Avatar when it
came
out.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, because it sort of was completely different and used it in a way that was just mind-blowing to me at the time. But that's it. That's where 3D kind of started and finished for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there you go. That's the less than 1% of where it's a good thing.
Do they still make 3D TVs and all that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
They still do the movies. But for me, the ultimate example of you know, the technology kind of ruining things, and that's a bad way of putting it, because I do like the technology. I like the fact that through digital SLR, you and I can do what we can do. I wouldn't be at the point where I am. Like, my photos would not look the same if I was shooting on film.
Right.
Absolutely not. If digital didn't exist, I would never have progressed to this point. Not possible. So I do like that technology, but up to a point to facilitate art or snapshots or whatever you want to call it, not the gimmicky part of it. Now, mm-hmm. How do you separate that? We talked about Beware the Gimmick a while ago. That was very specific, but for me, it's Star Wars. Star Wars is the greatest example of innovation gone wrong, because you see the first one, everybody thought was amazing. Now, was it because it was the 70s? Maybe. You know, like, but the very first Star Wars and the two that followed were outstanding and groundbreaking. I mean, but when they shot those the scenes of the TIE fighters and the X-wing fighters passing by the Death Star and all that, they were shooting that from a Jeep in the parking lot. For real,
right?
They just hung the 35mm camera out of the back seat of a Jeep. A guy held onto it, and they just did passes with that. And it looked amazing. And then, however many years later, 20 years later, Lucas decides he's going to re-release them ahead of the sequels. And, well, now we have computers, so I'm going to go and fix all the things that I thought were wrong with them. And people hated them. You didn't need to see Jabba the Hutt move. You didn't need to see all that. Like, the story was the king.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, wait a second, I have, you know, my Apple Lisa, look what it can do. Bam. I can use paint and throw this on there. And now Jabba the Hutt moves. And it ruined them. And then the next three movies, I think we can all agree, were just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was all about, hey, look at the technology I have. Story fell behind. So, I ask again, are we there yet? Are we at the point where 99% of photographers can say, hey, that's enough. I have what I need. Go do something else.
I hope so.
Well, maybe they'll invent something cool. Who knows? Challenge for next week.
I'm sure you have one.
I do. It's that time of year when you're hardly ever inside.
Right.
Photo challenge is outside.
Okay.
So hopefully it doesn't rain this week.
Yeah, I hope not. That's pretty wide open. I think I can do that.
That's why I made it for you, wide open like that. Websites. Adam, where can people find your not real baseball photos?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
Great. Find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find out, see all the stuff that we just talked about, links and whatnot. Until next week. Get out there and make better photos.